Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and welcome to another Bilderberg 2019 update. As many of you know, Luke is on the ground, streamed some footage of a plethora of Bilderbergers making their way to a boat to have a castle dinner. We also saw the Pompeo cavalcade, if you can call it that. I mean, God, there were so many cars there. They talk about an entourage and a lot more. And Tony, you've got some insight. You know, there's a lot to go over because, look, we had a list where people have been taken off. One person was added. Pompeo not officially on the list, but then the media reports on it. So much going on. So now that we're on Saturday, we've had a look at some of these people, some of the changes. What are your thoughts on the conference?
Well, I'm glad I'm not having my dinner this evening, Jason, in an execution chamber, because apparently that's one of the dining halls in the castle where the Bilderbergers have gone. It's quite nice, I think, the way that they try and have these little excursions every Saturday afternoon. I suppose it breaks up the, if you look at the expressions on the faces of some of the people coming out of those discussions, they're pretty led, heavy, weighted down, expressions, and people that look a bit depressed after having heard what they've heard. I think we know what they've heard, which is that there's a war being cooked up by Mike Pompeo and various other, Zionist interests, and the military industrial complex putting pressure on for this too. I mean, Mike Pompeo has been doing this grand world tour trying to get people behind his attack on Iran. It would be very surprising if this wasn't the sort of culmination of that, because here there are a load of people that can actually help make it happen. That is the press, the media, by lying and spinning, and also, of course, the people to finance it and the arms companies to make money out of it, as well as the aristocracy to sort of twiddle their moustaches and watch and smirk and smile as they see how they can still control things sometimes. I mean, that seems to me was what's going on, because in the backdrop to all of this is something which has really been related to Bilderberg. I think it's really important, is the Gulf Cooperation Council meeting that's been going on with the Saudis, the Qataris, UAE, Bahrain, Dubai, all these countries all getting together, but with Qatar. With a key thing, that Qatar is being brought back in. They had this embargo, blockade, etc. on Qatar because of Al Jazeera, basically, but it wasn't. Why they said there was a blockade, but I think everyone knows that Al Jazeera, based in Doha in Qatar, was dishing the dirt on the Israel lobby in London, and it did a program called The Lobby, which showed that $1 million pounds was being offered in order to infiltrate the Labour Party by the Israeli embassy. And in fact, yesterday, one of the national executives of the Labour Party was suspended for actually just repeating the facts which were spilled by Al Jazeera on British, on international television, which is what made them a pariah. But the fact that Qatar has been brought back in the Gulf Cooperation Council tells us that this attack on Iran is serious. They don't want any of the Gulf states to be close diplomatically to Iran, and they're burning. They have forgotten all the differences with Qatar, even though apparently Qatar still has Turkish troops there, because they were concerned that one of these other Gulf countries like Saudi Arabia was going to invade Qatar. So what I'm saying is the Gulf Cooperation Council have got their act together very much for an Iran war. And what with Pompeo at Bilderberg, it seems this is definitely what they're chewing the fat over this summer, maybe floating it out as an idea to see which politicians bite on the worm of the war. And that's one of the things that they do at Bilderberg. But it seems that this war is definitely on the cards for later this year sometime.
And it certainly does, and that is extremely unfortunate, because once again, I just don't see a lot of people opposing this vocally. I don't see people organizing to say, hey.
Okay. Good point here, right, is you've got the UN Secretary General, Guterres. He's not talking about this at all. What's he talking about? Oh, there's too much, not enough action on climate change in Chicago. You know, this is the sort of conversation we're getting from the UN, and Daniele Ganser from Basel University, who's exposed the whole Gladio network in his book NATO Secret Armies, is saying that the UN Secretary General has got to grow a pair when it's like a war like this is being talked about, he needs to get out on the world stage and say, no, this war is not going to happen. It's illegal. The United Nations is making it absolutely clear it's against this kind of war crime to invade countries. But, of course, he's not doing that. He's talking about climate change instead, which I think explains to a certain extent some of the climate change agenda. These ideas is to just sort of swamp the narrative of the international institutions, and so that they take their eye off the ball. And the eye has been taken off the ball, of course, in the UK. We've had very little in the press, in the UK press, apart from at the Daily Express, in the actual papers about it. But there has been loads of talk about the Champions League, you know, Liverpool 2, Spurs 0, whatever, and Madrid. These are international teams almost that are playing here. They're not hardly British people sitting on the chair. So it's the internationalist, the globalist, distracting people with the football. Actually, what's really going on is happening on Montreux with the Bilderbergers. And the other thing to say about Pompeo, this Pompeo arrival, I think, is really, it's like a lightning rod to understand, I think, what's going wrong with the world right now. You know, they say they're trying to put the world to rights. Actually, all the people there seem to be totally the opposite inspired, whether it's financial or military. And that is this whole Zionist fundamentalist thing that Pompeo is into, Christian Zionism, and we keep hearing about the evangelical right Christianity, you know, evangelical Christians. This isn't really the right terminology for the problem. The problem is with the Zionists, both the Jewish Zionists and Christian Zionists, who are hell-bent on this idea of creating a very powerful state of Israel, and they're fundamentalists because, of course, they say, oh, this is all God's work we're doing here, you know.
But and let me stop you there, Tony, because actually Pompeo, not so long ago in an interview, actually kind of alluded to the fact that Trump may be kind of like a prophetic figure for these people. I know we covered it. It was about a month and a half ago. I'd have to pull up the exact quote, but he was talking in prophecy terms.
What is he in prophecy? Is he the Antichrist? You know, I don't think he's a positive force, whatever it is. I think you have to flick up through your book of Revelation and find out who the various figures are in there. But, I mean, if he is a prophetic figure, he's certainly not doing good stuff, that's for sure.
Well, here it is right here, Tony, let me bring it up for people. It says, Pompeo says God may have sent Trump to save Israel from Iran. This is BBC, March 22nd. So, I mean,
even more recently, we've had Netanyahu saying the same thing. The Israeli newspapers reporting that he's saying he's on a mission from God, that God is blessing what he does. You know, so they're starting to bring in this Christian Zionist and Jewish Zionist ideology, fundamentalist belief. We've been trained to think that actually the Muslims are the fundamentalist ones. No, these are just as dangerous, you know, these guys. Anyway, the people at Bilderberg, the strategists are there. Everybody's there, aren't they? What the classic criminal analysis is, the means, motive, and opportunity. Well, they've got the means with the arms companies, the motive with Pompeo, and he's selling this evangelical nihilistic idea of, you know, oh, war is fantastic and good and God wants it, you know, this crazy idea. So means and motive, and the opportunity is the media. That's where the mass media comes in. They give them the chance to sell this in the first few days or whatever false flag type event that they create in order to try and sell this war. So there you got it, means, motive, an opportunity. And with all this talk about Huawei, the tech people who are in there are not talking about this. Here's one of my props. This is from the Financial Times, the only paper that reported it, 15th of May, and that's Pegasus 3, which is this Israeli software which works on the Android system. Forget about Huawei stealing all our data.
And hold on, let me stop you. So Pegasus, for those that don't know, also has been accused in the hack on Amnesty International. And that, for some reason, did not make national news. It was barely talked about. We did a story about it because it was occurring just about the same time that Baltimore got hacked with ransomware. And, you know, you look at Stuxnet, you look at Pegasus, and you look at the origins of this software. Hell, you go all the way back to the 90s and the U.S. government software Promise and Richard Maxwell possibly getting that technology and bringing it to Israel, hacking technology again that was before Carnivore, that was out there pre-big internet era. We're talking about telecommunications, all right? And where do the roads lead? They do lead back to Israel.
NSO in this case, tech group NSO, a billion dollar business. Where did it come from? No one's really entirely sure. Well, of course, I'll tell you where it came from. It's public money being spent developing software, which is then handed over to private interests to go and exploit it and make money as if they're a little intelligence service anywhere in the world they want. And of course, they're selling it to the highest bidder. They're selling it to despots, tyrannies, and big corporations, which are probably both of those rolled into one.
Absolutely. Listen, we only have a limited time, so I kind of want to shift gears here on the fact that, you know, the national media, New York Times, Washington Post, they both ran headlines in the last 24 hours of Mike Pompeo and Kushner going to the Bilderberg meeting. Now, that was huge for me. I didn't, you know, sometimes they report on, they certainly don't put huge players in the headlines up front, and yet the biggest name in alternative media, you know, I went there today, I searched for it, there was not one story on that main page about Bilderberg. That being said, you know, I'm taking this as a kind of a grain of salt, but TruthStream Media almost never gets things wrong. And they're claiming that, I'm going to read it right off here, saw someone seriously call Bilderberg a secret elite meeting where this year they're being conveniently, unknowingly spied on because Kushner and Pompeo are going. Can't decide if that's wishful thinking or cognitive dissonance, but the level of this case is utterly staggering, and I would have to agree. So what's your take on the mainstream media kind of giving the people the heads up that, hey, this is a big meeting, and putting two big name players in their headlines, and then secondly, you know, the biggest name in alternative media spinning it like it's a good thing?
Well, it isn't a good thing. Look, the mass media in this country, I can tell you, has done very little coverage this year. I mean, it's been interesting to see a bit in the Daily Express and on the websites of some of the papers, including the Daily Mail, but it's not making its way into the actual newspaper itself. It's just staying online, this stuff. Yes, it's good to see some coverage from the US, but they don't really seem to. I mean, there were two separate articles in the US. One was about Kushner being at Bilderberg in Montreux, and the other one was about Kushner being in Tel Aviv, having a good powwow with Netanyahu. And I understand he's come from Tel Aviv to the Bilderberg conference. He's probably already there. He may have come yesterday, speaking to Charlie earlier. There has been a reasonable amount of coverage, but thank goodness for people like Charlie. You know, it's an expensive place to go to. It's going to be well over £1,000 with no financial return at all. You know, for someone like me to go there, and maybe I should be crowdfunding this, actually. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I managed to do a program on last night where we spoke to Charlie Skelton live, give it his analysis of the people, including, interestingly again, funnily enough, from what I was previously saying, the Pentagon War Games chief. Of course, the war with Iran and with Russia and in Ukraine, all that stuff has been war gamed. So they've been playing at it and fine-tuning these war games. And the trouble is, if they start to win the war games, then they start to want the war. And that's why he's there, I think. National Security Council there, I didn't mention them either. They're in the middle of this. I mean, it just seems to me like the fingerprints of a potential Third World War, but anyway, definitely an attack on Iran of some kind, are all over this meeting. And it's horrific that it's hardly been reported. Really, it should be far, far more. We've also had
another thing. And Tony, before you go there.
I just want to tell you about a story in the UK, which I don't know how much has been reported, and that is the attack on the Labour Party that's been going on in Britain, the anti-Semitism scandal, another big blow. Yesterday with Pete Wisman, who was on the national executive of the Labour Party, being suspended, basically for just simply stating a fact, in the same way as Ken Livingstone, the former mayor of London, the Labour Party was. And he just simply said the Israeli embassy are probably behind this attack on the Labour Party. Well, this is exactly what Shai Massot revealed in this Al Jazeera documentary. So there's been a serious attack on the only opposition in Britain, which is, you know, this is the only party really which is pro-Palestinian and criticizing the Israeli acts of, you know, using soldiers to kill Palestinians. So this is another indication that things are hotting up. The Gulf Cooperation Council, Pompeo, for an attack on Iran, and that would be disastrous for everybody. We really, I think, need to make sure everybody knows that we know what they've been discussing in there, because they're trying very hard, I think, to just simply make money. This is a criminal gang. They stand to make a lot of money out of a war, whether it's just through insider trading or selling weapons.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go back to Iran and the war there and the conflict, the bottom line is, this weekend there hasn't been a lot of new information. Isn't that so convenient that all of a sudden, you know, all this ramping up and the attacks in the Gulf and all the coverage kind of goes away right now while the big daddy players are talking and really deciding? And I guarantee you, folks, come Monday, come Tuesday, there will be some kind of a headline. You know, whether there's new intelligence of a proxy attack by Iranian Revolutionary Guard, you know, sympathizers or terrorists in the region, or ISIS sympathizers or al-Nusra, you name it, they'll throw it out there. They do not care if they think the public will buy it. That being said, what, you know, we got to wrap it up because it's almost 15. We're a little over 15 right now, Tony. Two of the more interesting, and these were just, going to talk about these. You talked about, one, the possibility of a Russian sub maybe conducting surveillance on this. I don't know if you want to talk too much about it, but Russia,
it would be nice, wouldn't it, to think. You know, I think that would be a nice backdrop to, you know, we're joshing here, right?
But yes.
To have a Russian submarine pop up behind their boat, you know, sort of some Russian guy with a nice fur hat, it'd be a bit warm for him maybe, but with his binoculars, like looking over towards Pompeo on the ship, you know. So, I mean, yes, but the thing is, of course, Switzerland has been a place where these sorts of things have been cooked up in the past. And one of my props I brought along is this, I think, terrific book, which everybody should get hold of. It's not been published in the US, as far as I understand, only in the UK, written by a commando who died just a couple of years ago. The book's OPJB, Operation James Bond, it's short for, and it says The Last Great Secret of the Second World War. What they show you in here was that the Brits at the very highest level were in touch closely with Hitler's head of the Nazi Party, Martin Bormann, right the way through the end stages of the war. So much to such an extent that they sent some commandos in, a troop of commandos, under the command of Ian Fleming, who'd been to Switzerland. Remember, Ian Fleming is the Bond author. He'd been to Switzerland to make these arrangements and come through it as a neutral country into Nazi Germany. And then they snatched Bormann out right at the very last minute from under the noses of the Russians. And some might say, well, you couldn't do that with Canoe. The Russians would stop you and challenge you. But they had fluent Russian-speaking woman with them who shouted at all these troops saying, get out of the way. We're looking for Nazi war criminals in Russian. And she had a general's uniform. So that the Russians, if they did try and stop this troop of British... anyway, so it's a terrific book. Read it. I would say read it. Just digest the information. It's very short, extremely readable, and it explains, really, I think, the connection between the Fourth Reich, which is this financial fascist empire, and Manfred Petrich from All Smoke and Mirrors is a longtime Swiss banker, or he worked in the finance industry in Switzerland, and a native German speaker, born in Argentina. He's absolutely clear they're fascists. These people are fascists. They're corporate people that want to run the world, and they're getting far too close to doing it because they've weakened all of our democratic institutions. They've weakened international media, or the alternative media's being crushed. Even I've been hearing, Jason, as well, from people that know about this stuff, that a lot of the Bilderberg stuff is being actually censored from Facebook. So in other words, as you share it, it looks as if other people are able to see it, but they don't see it because Bilderberg is in the title. And she does a bit of analysis on this, and she's got shadow accounts where she can check. She said Bilderberg stuff is just simply not really being shared. It's like a kind of shadow banning. Mm-hmm. But anyway, to get back to the connection with Nazi Germany, you know, we've got Bernhard, Bilderberg chairman for 20 years.
And only left because of that Lockheed Martin scandal, brother. He only resigned because, again, he got caught in bad arms deals. And don't think that arms deals...
We're a million miles away from there because the rule of law is just nowhere to be seen. We've seen Conrad Black pardoned, haven't we?
Yeah.
By President Trump. He was a Bilderberger guy. That
20 plus
nabbed.
Years.
Now he's been given the get out of jail free card, because that's what these guys get up to. So anyway, the purpose of this British mission seems pretty clear now, looking back on it, at the end of the war, is Bormann had the signatures on all the bank accounts and all the various accounts of valuables that were being stored in Switzerland, and he was able to then use that to create this kind of financial mafia. After the Second World War, some of these big corporations he put together out in South America. So there's a lot of stuff about Hitler surviving World War II. This is just to occlude and get in the way of the fact it was Bormann who survived, and Bormann was the key guy. You know, the British needed him to get hold of all that wealth, and then they shared it out with their other mafia chums. That seems pretty clear to me that was the real outcome of the Second World War, which we're now only just, I think, really getting our heads around. There is another book as well by a Canadian journalist called Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, which takes over where this one leaves off. So this explains Bormann being brought to Britain by the commandos and by Ian Fleming, and to a guy called Desmond Morton, Major Desmond Morton, who was the personal secretary to Winston Churchill. And then the second book by Paul Manning, Martin Bormann in Nazi in Exile, explains what he got up to down in Paraguay, Argentina, and South America, creating these 750 corporations that he then laundered all this money from World War II and injected into these companies to then start this massive Fourth Reich financial empire. So there's a whole other story related to the whole Bilderberg thing, I think, because the origin of this, if people don't know, is the Bilderberg Hotel in Oosterbeek. And Oosterbeek was where this battle was fought, the Bridge Too Far battle in the Second World War, the Battle of Arnhem. And it was a battle which was thrown by the British generals, two of them, Horrocks and Browning, both made sure that the British did not survive the other side of the Rhine. And that gave the Nazis another three months, in order to complete their squirreling away of all the wealth to make sure that they could survive the war. So this was a major victory. And I think that's why Bilderberg, 10 years after the end of this battle in 1944, so in 54, had their first meeting at Oosterbeek in Holland. Just as a sort of in-joke, really, this is where we slaughtered the British and we gained ourselves an extra 3 months of war to do what we wanted to make sure we could survive that war and have our wealth after the war. So and there were two people involved in that battle that later went on to become Bilderberg chairman. One was Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. The other was Lord Carrington, who was in the Grenadier Guards tanks that failed to go forward and just waited and waited until the British had been murdered at the Arnhem Bridge and killed off. And then only then did they start to move forward. So another story really is just about, I think, important to understand where the name Bilderberg came from. It's their little in-joke. This is the battle that we managed to throw in the Second World War that gave us that extra 3 months we needed in order to survive it with a kind of Fourth Reich financial system.
Super interesting take, Tony. We've gotten well over what we said we were going to, so I'm going to let you give out some. Oh, no, that's great. I love doing this. Hey, we're live. Guys, if you want to see more live streams with Tony Gosling, let him know. Hopefully, I'll be able to get him on periodically over here. Give out some links and direct people to what they should be looking for in light of this conference in the coming weeks and months.
Well, okay, so certainly keep a very close eye on Iran. Absolutely riveting, because I think we need to be putting pressure here in the West as journalists and basically as citizens to just make sure that our leaders and our military know we're not up for this. I think the military probably don't really particularly want it. Many of them understand these things a lot better than most civilians or civvies. You know, that this is a serious conflict. The Iranians also know that a lot of the military won't be wanting to do that. But, of course, we're dealing here with effectively a cult. I mean, that's what Bilderberg is, you know. And once their military-industrial complex gets together with politicians, journalists, financiers, kings and queens, and they all start thinking we've got to get it rid, you know, power starts to go to their head. So websites, my weekly politics program on the radio in Bristol is thisweek.org.uk. You can find that online. If you happen to be in the city of Bristol in England, we are on 93.2 FM between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. every Friday evening. And we really sort of try and get the boat out on a Friday after the 7 o'clock news and do some proper investigative journalism. And which this week was, of course, Charlie Skelton, and we had Manfred Petrich from All Smoke and Mirrors. Very well worthwhile site to read. I mean, as we said earlier, Manfred's extremely knowledgeable about Bilderbergs and its background, and it's not afraid to call a spade, a fascist. So then there's also, I do something called the 911forum.org.uk, which has got a whole kind of catalogue of terrorist attacks and that sort of thing. Over the last probably 20, 30, 40 years, assassinations we look at on there, and also try and keep pace with events like, you know, the Christchurch massacre, the most recent terrorist events, such as the attack in Sri Lanka over on Easter Sunday, and the links back to Saudi Arabia, and of course Saudi Arabia's going with links back now to the Israelis and the attempted attack on Iran. These places are dictatorships in the Gulf States. We never hear that on the BBC. Dictatorship, Saudi Arabia is, and the other Gulf states are too. So those are the main websites. And then, of course, finally, if you people are really interested in the history of the Bilderbergs and where they came from, the origins, and what evidence there is, for example, that they're behind the Euro, the European Union, the Treaty of Rome, all this kind of thing, you can go to Bilderberg.org, which was a domain name which I was very broke at the time, but I managed to get a bit of money off of, asked for a little bit of cash and got it from the sister of one of Henry Kissinger's goddaughters, which is very nice of her, back in the mid-1990s. So there's a few websites for you, Jason. I think if you're looking at where to look around the world, obviously Global Research is a great source. And generally speaking, I think we've got to really be proactive and go out and look for, I mean, Consortium News is another one. We've got to go and look for these because Google is delisting them, downlisting them. It's delisting and down, demonetizing the video. And let's face it, this video we're looking at now, you know, this they can switch this off anytime they want at Google. And that's why Eric Schmidt should not be sitting in that Bilderberg. He should be on the outside reporting on it, not sitting inside conspiring with the military-industrial complex and the financial military elite.
I 110% agree with you on that. You know, it's unfortunate that we've allowed this to happen for so long and we were gaining ground, but now the public has gone extremely apathetic. And the,
can I just say something positive about all this? Because I think they're basically on a hiding to nothing. They believe their own propaganda a lot of the time. They believe what their war games computers are telling them. The fact is, the matter is that, that nothing is quite as certain as they think it is. And they've kind of painted themselves into a corner. I mean, there's no way they can take on the whole of humanity and try and get away with another kind of crazy war like that we had in Iraq. The whole world is wise to this stuff now. And well, not the whole world, but certainly the world's waking up to it. And the thing is, they're embarking on a battle, a process that I don't think they can possibly win. And so there is, it's going to be a very, very rough ride. But I think there's the positive thing to take from it is that they're not fooling anybody anymore, maybe just only themselves.
Well, I guess we'll see. I guess we will see. You know, again, I wish there was more of a public outcry out there. I saw a lot more in 2012. I think that we've gone downhill. I really believe that these meetings should not be taking place the way they are. You know, without a press release.
Well, they're pressing down. They're pressing down, aren't they? They're pushing down all the social media. This is they're weaponizing social media. They're supposed to be talking about, but they're turning off people's monetization. They're pushing them off of Facebook. They're herding us around. You know, they've herded the truth away from the mainstream press, from the mass media, which when I, in the 1980s, when I started working at the BBC, it was definitely an ethos of real journalism still left. It's been squeezed out almost, and I think that's the same for most mass media. There are still a few people hanging in there thinking, good God, you know, this is scary, but they're trying to do their best within the mass media. I think we really do need to understand the way that we've been herded from there, from the big TV, big radio, big newspapers, onto social media, and now they're squeezing that down too. But as we saw in Egypt, in the Arab Spring, when you start switching off the social media, people come out on the streets, so they better watch out.
I think you're right. So let's see if we can get those people out in the streets. Tony, I thank you. I'm going to close it on the other end, and hopefully we'll be in touch, and hopefully we'll do a Bilderberg roundup maybe in a couple weeks and see if some of the big players and names there are making headlines everywhere.
Another thing. Sorry, I keep going on.
It's all right.
There's another thing to watch is take a look at some of the characters from Bilderberg, particularly the press people, and what they say over the few days after Bilderberg. Quite often, they're just spilling the beans exactly on what's been going on there. They won't name names because they're not allowed to under these silly Chatham House rules. The journalists, you know, shouldn't be having big meetings like this under Chatham House rules. They should be secretly recording what's going on in there and then broadcasting it afterwards. That's what if they were real journalists, that's what they'd be doing. But keep an eye on what they say, because that will be the sorts of lines that they'll be coming. And this is what they do, is they divert these narratives, and the next line to come out with, oh, X, Y, Z, Iran is responsible for this now. They'll be saying something else. They do some positive things, I suppose it has to be said. Like the plastic, you know, several years ago at
Boy and Slat,
there was a guy that came along to say, oh, you know, there's too much plastic waste in the world. The only thing is, people don't realize these oil companies and people that created the plastic disaster in the first place. So it's very appropriate they should be at Bilderberg, but they've got loads of publicity since they turned up at Bilderberg 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, Boy and Slat. Actually, Luke was able to sit down with him after Bilderberg because he was a younger guy. He was going through the airport. Luke talked to him for a bit, and he actually contacted him. Did a sit-down at a local deli, and I encourage people to check that out. That's over on the main page. Perhaps I'll post that link in the description, but probably not because I don't want this to get demonetized, and it seems like every
time. You see, the point is, does even he know, as a campaigner, the people he's sitting around with, their companies are the ones who are all responsible for creating plastic in the first place? When it started flooding the world in the late 60s and 70s, everyone was saying, we don't want this stuff. You know, it's in a way, it's a kind of little, theatre. They flood the world with it, and then they make a big, big deal about how we're going to save you from this terrible stuff we flooded all over you. So the same with oil, of course. We don't need to be consuming anywhere near the amount of oil that we are now. That's been all deliberate to make us dependent on Saudi Arabia and to keep this tie with the Middle East going, an absolute dependency. Because, you know, there's all sorts of scare stories about what could happen if the pipelines go, the tankers go, the Straits of Hormuz closes. But they're not scare stories. They're real. I mean, if this supply of oil stops, then you've got yourself a 1929 times to the power, actually, of 10. You know, a much bigger crash than happened in the late 20s.
And a much different looking one, because the world is a very different place. Tony, I thank you again. I'm going to end it there on the other side. Like I said, we're going to be in touch. Guys, I want to thank everybody out there for joining me. I saw one super chat, which I appreciate, and I will answer now. David Fox asked, has Alex Jones even covered Bilderberg this year? And I don't know that he's personally covered it. I'll say that. You know, I don't know that he's personally covered it. Has he personally covered it? From what I saw, I think Thursday or Friday, I saw Owen Schroyer sitting in. He mentioned it, but it was all the same talking points, and he didn't mention anybody's name. Then on top of that, when I went over to my Twitter today, I was going back and forth with a guy named Front Row Brian. He does a lot of MMA stuff, but he also... let's see, are we down there? Oh, that's actually good news. Let's see. He does a lot of MMA stuff, but he listens to Jones. Okay, so I had tweeted out this. When both the New York Times and Washington Post run headlines that Pompeo and Kushner are attending Bilderberg, yet tomorrow's News Today completely omits this fact, what does that tell you? So, let's see. That was from him, but here we go. They reported on Kushner a few days ago. Now, Kushner, again, was in the headlines. I don't know how they reported on Kushner. But then, you know, I reported back fair. Was this on the main program or one of the others? Still odd. Not one story on the main page over there today. Not one reporter on the ground in Switzerland. And no mention of Pompeo at all. At all. No mention of Pompeo. Okay? So then the Fight Oracle over here says, he shows me these four articles from the past couple of days. Again, none of these were on the front page today. None of them mentioned Pompeo. And he kind of made the excuse that, well, Pompeo wasn't on the list. Well, if Jason Burmes knew he was going to be there as far back as Thursday, shouldn't tomorrow's news today, if little old me knows, and I'm talking about it, and it's being reported in the mainstream, wouldn't that be a huge, huge headline for today, right? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, at 10:30 in the morning today, there's zero articles of Bilderberg on there. So, David, I hope I answered your question there. I will make sure to keep up on this. Remember, Luke is doing incredible work on the ground. He got Pompeo coming in with his motorcade, among other great ones. He's recently got Thiel. People have seen his Eric Schmidt. God bless Charlie Skelton being down there. Dan Dix, Max Bachman, Josh Friedman on the ground reporting on what is probably the most important policy meeting of the year, this year and every year. And those are the facts. So once again, folks, thank you for watching this. If you're not subscribed, now's the time to hit that subscribe button. Thumbs the video up. Make sure you ring the bell for notifications. Not only ring the bell, but then click to get every notification. I know I haven't done a lot of stuff on my personal channel recently, but I've been really wrapped up with this Bilderberg thing. And thank you guys for that. Our GoFundMe did much better than we thought it was going to, and it looks like we're going to be crowdfunding a lot more of these type of trips, including possibly the Bohemian Grove coming up in July. So if that's something you want to see, tell me in the comments, hit me up on Twitter, or encourage us on other videos. Remember, share our stuff, News for a Change, We Are Change, and of course, my personal channel. Guys, thank you so much. We'll be seeing you soon.